Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. I'm your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, where I show you how to achieve your ultimate dream body on a 100% plant-based diet. Today is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to go into part three of the summary of all the presentations that happened at the International Plant-Based Healthcare Nutrition Conference. Today, we're going to start it off with my notes from Dr. Caldwell Esselstein. We're going to get into a gentleman named Michael Turpin. We might even get to Dr. Greger today as well. So let's go ahead and jump in and get started with what Dr. Esselstein said. By the way, really quickly, if you haven't, I've already recorded two episodes that summarized all the previous speakers leading up to Dr. Esselstein. So you'll see them. They're labeled as part one and part two. So please, if you haven't, go ahead and enjoy those. There's some amazing information in it. But let's go over what Dr. Caldwell Esselstein said. Famous gentleman. You should have seen the round of applause that he got when he came up on stage. And he looks amazing, by the way. Absolutely amazing. I didn't know this, but he was on the Olympic team. I believe it was in rowing, which blew my mind. He is actually an Olympian. Did you know that? How cool is that? I hope I'm right about that. So here's what he said. He said, don't go to the store and buy a bottle of pills full of antioxidants because it doesn't work. What is he talking about there? He's saying that when we take specific nutrients from, doesn't even matter what the source is, but when we refine it and purify it to the point where it's just that particular substance or compound, that is not something that is healthy to the body. Because, well, he said he would rather have his patients chewing on green leaves instead. And he also goes on to say that he wants his patients to chew on green leaves with a high ORAC value six times a day. ORAC stands for oxygen radical absorbance capacity. And it's a method of measuring antioxidant capacities in biological samples in vitro. Just so you know, I didn't rattle that off the top of my head. I looked it up and I'm just reading it straight up. So in other words, it is a measure of how powerful any particular food is as an antioxidant. But his statement, I mean, what he was making a big a point for is that foods in supplement form, especially when it comes to vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, they are not in a form that our body is very, very good at absorbing and utilizing. Sometimes it's just because it's just too much all at once, or we might not have the rest of the other materials, compounds. I mean, there's things like enzymes, phytonutrients, and other minerals too that are naturally occurring in the foods, the whole plant-based foods that we eat, that contribute to our body's ability to absorb and assimilate it. It's not just about, let's get it in our bloodstream. It's about how we get it in our bloodstream. And sometimes too much too soon, which is what you get in a purified form, might be hazardous to our health. It's kind of like if you've ever heard of, I'm going to use an example of cocaine just because I've seen documentaries on it, not that I've ever tried it before, but there are many cultures that will chew on cocoa leaves, which is totally healthy. And it's a form of, they use it because it helps them stay awake and stay alert, but there's really no bad side effects to going out and picking whole cocoa leaves and chewing on them. But when you purify it and you refine it down to the substance called cocaine, and then you snort it so it goes right to the bloodstream immediately, that's when you have some serious problems. So what Dr. Esselstein is implying is that we might be doing the same thing when it comes to supplements. That was kind of a big aha for me. I thought, wow, you know, I've taken supplements for many years, especially multivitamins. I even recommend them. And now it's got me second guessing. I wonder if it's actually been doing harm for me. Luckily, none of my labs, none of my health and blood work. Nothing has revealed that anything has happened terribly in my health, but it's not to say that perhaps that's the state of my health with the supplements. And if I went off of them, I might be in better shape. I don't know. That's a tough one to test, I think, but very fascinating, very cool information nonetheless. I'd like to know you if you have experience with consuming supplements, and if you've had any negative results or if you've had positive results, please feel free to share that, especially on our Facebook fan page. Next thing he said was, we are on the cusp of a seismic shift in the healthcare system. What he's talking about here is that when people have cardiovascular disease, well, they only focus on certain forms of treatment to put a Band-Aid or to kind of fix the problem, but not fix the root of the problem. And what he's talking about is the lack of using a nutrition approach to not only fixing and healing and reversing cardiovascular disease, but also preventing it from happening in the first place. And he said, I hope my cardiovascular colleagues will recognize the present system and the methods of treatment will never cure the problem, because that's what it's all about. It's about curing the problem, not just fixing it or putting a patch on it so that it'll eventually come back. We want to cure the problem. It's like with my wife's lupus. I mean, lupus is considered a disease that you can never get rid of, but we did. She's been lupus-free. It's cured. It's done. There's no more lupus in her body anymore. And that's what it's about, not just managing the symptoms, because that's all you're doing is slowing down the inevitable decay to one's death and I guess lack of quality of life. It's not that. We want to be cured of these things. And I think his point is so strong, Dr. Esselstyn, saying that you can do all the bypass surgeries that you want. You can put all the stents in that you want. You're not going to cure the problem. The way you cure the problem is by taking a nutrition approach and letting the body heal itself. Do it from a biological level. Pretty amazing. Up next was a gentleman by the name of Michael Turpin, and he is a former healthcare executive. And what he had to share was very fascinating, things I didn't know. Like, for example, Social Security. Social Security is $8 trillion underfunded. Medicare is $50 trillion underfunded. This is kind of scary. And I'll get to the point of why he was presenting these facts in just a second. He says that the average retiree lives on $22,000 per year. And the average retiree consumes an average of $500,000 in healthcare services. The point of this being that we, as a society, we're getting sicker and sicker. We're demanding more and more from our free Medicare system, and we're not going to be able to continue to do that for long. We're so much in debt as a result of it, and it's getting worse. It's getting way worse. So that means an average retiree living on $22,000 a year, but consuming $500,000 in healthcare services, there is no way that they are, well, they're making that up. There's no way. And this is going to be a big problem. 44 out of 50 states are at a budget deficit for funding Medicaid. And he says that the sad irony of healthcare is the people with the best healthcare do not necessarily become healthier. Now that's a huge statement. You can have the best healthcare in the world, but it doesn't necessarily make you any healthier. Again, the whole healthcare system, like Esselstyn was implying, it's based on patching things up, but not fixing or curing them. So that means that you can patch it up, but it's going to come back. You can invest or spend money right now to fix the symptom of a problem, which only means that you're going to end up spending money again to fix the problem all over again and to continue patching it up, but you're not truly curing the problem. He also says, to stabilize any system of healthcare financing, we need to shift from sick care to healthcare. A successful week at Kaiser. Now, he's talking about Kaiser Permanente. Him and several other presenters, other doctors, they all say that they believe that Kaiser Permanente is one of the best examples of a successful system of health that rewards people for being healthy. Amazing. A successful week at Kaiser is an empty hospital, as a hospital full of empty beds. Now, think about that for a second. That is pretty cool. So Kaiser considers a successful week when they have as few patients or no patients at all, where a successful week at Hoag Hospital is a hospital full of beds. So that means that they're rewarded. the more sick people that come in and fill up those hospital beds, the more they're rewarded. Whereas you have a system like Kaiser Permanente, the more they're rewarded for keeping people out of the hospital. I think that's the way it should be. And then he went on to talk more about the policy and the politics and the healthcare system and healthcare reimbursement. If you've ever had a lot of experience with healthcare, like a lot of people, most people have an unpleasant experience. They have their whatever claims you make for any healthcare claims that you need for your health or any medical attention that you need. A lot of times, it comes under very deep scrutiny from the company, the healthcare provider, the healthcare insurance provider company, and that's terrible, especially when you've got urgent issues that you need to take care of right away. That's going to affect your life. It's going to affect your quality of life, and so on. The system needs to change. Great presentation. The next person up was a person by the name of Dr. Alan Goldhammer. He's a chiropractor, and he was talking about water fasting, something I don't know anything about. So this was fascinating. And he started off by saying that the one promise that we make to our patients taking blood pressure medication is that you're never ever going to get better. How about that? So that means anybody who's on Lipitor or, Lipitor. What am I talking about? That is a cholesterol medication. I don't know the different blood pressure medications. He's saying something along the lines of what Dr. Esselstein was saying. It doesn't cure the problem. You'll never get better. And that's so true. Just about everybody I know who doesn't change their diet, they get on medication and they stay on medication all the way until they die. Whereas my parents, fortunately, neither of my parents had blood pressure issues, but they did have cholesterol issues and diabetes and blood sugar issues. Both my parents were 1 to 2 points away from full-blown diabetes. Both of them were on Lipitor. And when we changed their diet, we put them on a whole plant-based diet. All that went away. They got to go off of their medication. They're virtually cured from it, not to come back. And it's going to be the same thing with blood pressure medication. Again, it can be fixed with diet and exercise. He led into talking about fasting, and he wanted to make it very clear that fasting is not starving. Now he says that someone doing a water fast, this is when you only drink water, will live longer than someone being fed only white bread. I really hope they didn't test that. I really, really hope they didn't test it all the way to the conclusion. Put one person on only white bread, put the other person only on water, and then counted the days until each of them died. I hope they didn't do that. I hope this is just an assumption. But what Goldhammer's stance is that water fasting is healthier than consuming carbohydrates from white bread. Fascinating. I can't dispute nor support that. I thought that was just fascinating information. I'm not sure if it's true or not. It hopefully is, but very interesting. I never ever thought about that. As I'm listening to Goldhammer, I'm just thinking, how do you not eat? How can you just stick with water? I've never done that before. And by the way, if you've ever done water fasting and you've got, again, either good results or bad results, let us know about it. Please share your experience. We would all love to hear from that. I would love to hear from that. During a water fast, weight loss averages 1 pound per day. Now, I know a lot of you right now trying to lose weight. You're probably going to say, oh, tell me more about that water fasting. Hold on. He says, during water fasting, the body eliminates excess salt faster than when feeding. That means that your bloating is going to go significantly down. Water fasting facilitates the elimination of toxins, which that's a great thing. And if you've ever had a detox effect, you know how horrible you feel after a while. Because what happens is when you have toxins that are trapped in the cells of your body, a lot of them are in your fat cells, they get released. And, well, they have to go through your bloodstream. Which means once they're in your bloodstream, they're going to go and pass through your brain. So it is going to affect the way you feel, your mood, your energy, your clarity, all of those things before finally they're filtered and they're eliminated. But man, that's a tough, tough situation to be in, detox, especially if you have a lot of toxicity in your body. Water fasting has negative effects on cancer cells, while non-cancerous cells remain healthy. So let me rephrase that so you understand what it actually says. So again, I'm just basically quoting what I heard from, well, no, I'm not basically, that's exactly what I did. I quoted what I heard during his presentation. So water fasting affects cancer cells in a negative way. Good for us, bad for the cancer cells. While it causes the non-cancerous cells to remain healthy. I didn't know that. Water fasting resets taste neuroadaptation. This was really cool. This was very, very fascinating. A lot of us are addicted to certain tastes. And when we smell something that we really, really like, or we begin to taste something we really like, or even when we look at something and we can remember the taste of something we really, really like, well, we start to really desire it. We start to really crave it. And that, I know for a lot of us, sends us into the spiral of emotional eating, and that can sabotage our results, especially when you're trying to lose body fat. And it can also have a harmful effect too when you're trying to build muscle as well, when you're trying to eat the right foods in large amounts. When you do a water fast, according to Dr. Goldhammer, it resets that. So what he means is the foods that are the most nourishing taste really good to you. Again, at one point, hopefully in your life, it did taste really, really good to you. But raw fruits and vegetables, they taste amazing. Nuts and seeds taste absolutely amazing. And if you reset your taste neuroadaptation, what happens is, well, you are combining, you're creating an adaptation, a link to healthy food, assuming that you go through this, reset your taste neuroadaptation, and you just begin and pretty much stick with healthy food, you will begin to really appreciate and crave and love the taste of healthy food. Now, you can do this in several ways. You can do this by just simply going on healthy food, only healthy food, the nourishing foods, you know, the produce, the fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and just stick it with that for a very long period of time. I mean, it took me about a year to create these neural adaptations to that. But then again, when I eat the bad food, which I've done that, it only takes, well, a few days to reset the neuroadaptation in the wrong way. So this is water fasting may help you get to a more ideal neuroadaptation to tastes and foods a lot faster. My final comments about Dr. Goldhammer's presentation before I move on is I think water fasting might be something that is definitely worth taking a look. It's intriguing what it can do. I would consider water fasting as a tool. Definitely not something that you would do long term. So it's important that, and in fact, I would recommend contacting Dr. Goldhammer directly and getting his counsel and his advice to understand how to do it right. Because I know it's easy to understand that this could be something that could be very, very dangerous if not properly supervised and if not executed in a safe way. You definitely want to do this under medical supervision the whole time. So that way you keep yourself safe. And again, the goal is to become healthier and better off than we were before we started. So please, 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 if you're even remotely considering this, please do your due diligence on this and really get the right support that you can. All right. So that is going to conclude today's episode. I'm so sorry. I thought I was going to be able to get to Gregor. Gregor's next. And that's where I will start with part 4 of the summary of the International Plant-Based Healthcare Nutrition Conference. So please stay tuned for that. That's going to be coming out very, very soon. I want to just give you a big thank you. Thank you to every single one of you that has commented and rated this episode and just given us some amazing feedback, just wonderful comments. I can't thank you enough for that. It means so much to me, and it helps get this message out to more and more people that needs this information. So from my heart to yours, thank you so much. This is Thomas Tadlock, host of the Vegan Body Revolution Show, and I will catch you on the next podcast.